I was thinking on next Sunday morning, we'll get to, once again, the blessing of watching young children get up here and perform for us the Christmas story. And I'll never forget, several years ago, we had a bad snowstorm on that weekend, and it looks like it's still going to be good weather this week and everything. Praise the Lord for that. I don't know if that means January and February is going to be cold, but how many of you remember, I think it was Kenny and Wesley and others put on the outfits and they still performed what the little boys usually do, and the willingness. Eric, you and Grant too. Who else was involved with that? Brent, Wesley, and how many remember that? We had a bad snowstorm, so a lot of our regulars couldn't come in, so we still had the Christmas program. I think we bumped the teen program a week, but we still had a great time with that. But let's be honest, next week, if the 2 and 3-year-olds are getting ready to come up here and we decide to replace them and we have, let's just say, Brother Samson, Brother Don Koontz, and Kent George get up here and do the moose scene, it just won't be the same. Actually, that's not a bad idea. How many think we should try that next Sunday night? You think that'd be good for Sunday morning? It just wouldn't fit, right? It just wouldn't fit. And here's the point I'm trying to make tonight is there's certain things that we just do at Christmas time that if we all of a sudden change them, it just won't make sense, all right? My wife and I go back and forth a lot. I think you can always have a wonderful, pleasant, Merry Christmas in Florida. And she doesn't think so. She thinks that the cold weather, there's something about that. And the decoration of the trees we decorate here versus a palm tree. It's hard to, I said, you can decorate a palm tree. Challenge me. I'll be glad to decorate a palm tree. Just everything's top heavy, right? I mean, just put everything on top of it. But there's some things, and I get it, you know. And it's the same thing as being a Christian. I laugh sometimes that people just, they always have to say, where's it in the Bible? You know, it's like, come on, man. I mean, there's some things we just do because they're traditional things that we do. There's things that we appreciate, and they're not necessarily doctrinal. I mean, as Americans, we're that way. Just there's certain American cultures that, as Americans, we understand and we do that most of the world would not understand. And by the way, I would love one day to take all of you to the Bohemian church services and let you see their song and praise worship service. Ooh, some of you guys would have a stroke. I loved it. It'd be something else to see that. I love it. It's a blessing. I think that's the way we're going to worship in heaven, not like a lot of the white folk do in Baptist church. Somebody say amen right there, all right? Help me out, Josh. Come on, help me out, right? So, but when it's all said and done, There's something about the Christmas story, and there's certain individuals that make the Christmas story so powerful. And tonight I want to look at them just a little bit, because number one, the first person we got to look at is Mary tonight. You see, there's principles we can learn and glean from the original Christmas cast, if you will. That original Christmas cast can teach us principles 2,000 years later that if we adopt the Christmas Mary philosophy like we did this morning, we can then make a Merry Christmas for others. Because for 2,000 years, many have had a Merry Christmas because of what Mary did. And the first word that comes to my mind when I think of Mary is this word, is the word willingness. Willingness. I love the sign for willingness. You're willing, you're laying down everything for whatever the cause. I'm willing to do this. Look at Luke chapter 1, verse 37. Luke, back up one chapter. Luke 1. We'll be in Luke chapter 1 and 2 for the main part of the message, except for number 2, statement number 2. But look at verse 37. It says, for with God nothing shall be impossible. My dad loves that verse. And Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Can I just say something? I thank God for Mary's willingness 2,000 years ago. We don't know all of her plans for life. We don't know all the details. We do know this. We do know that her and Joseph liked each other. They were cousins. No, they liked each other. There was a serious relationship developing and brewing in there. In fact, it becomes a huge issue when we get to Joseph in a second. And when they find out that Mary is with child. And we've heard that story before, and I tell you, the Bible maybe doesn't necessarily paint the picture, but imagine being a young lady and going to the man of your dreams and telling him what's happening. And interestingly enough, God does not reveal it to Joseph until after he sees how Joseph deals with the news. Isn't that interesting? He could have told him ahead of time, and Joseph would have, oh, that's cool. But God actually lets Joseph find out about it. So that's a whole other subject, another message. But the willingness of Mary, can I just say tonight, I'm a little tired of how much the Catholics have spotlighted Mary, and they've done it so much so that we're almost afraid to talk about it in our churches today. Can I tell you something today? I would love for my three daughters to grow up and be like Mary. I'd rather them follow the paths of Mary than a Miley Cyrus. Somebody say amen right there. Or a Beyonce, or Katy Perry, all the popular ladies of today, or females of today that bring a disgrace to modesty, bring a disgrace to morality. Mary right here was willing to do whatever God wanted her to do. And may I say today to the Christian movement today, Christians in America, where is that old-fashioned willingness to do just whatever God wants? Whatever you want, God. We've become so good at planning out our lives and planning out our courses of action that God has just finally just left us alone. I mean, we've got it figured out, right? We're Americans. We know everything. I mean, we got our retirement plans. We've got all these things in place. We've got the next 10 years planned out. And can I tell you something today? We need an old-fashioned revival. Just reminding God from time to time. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, God, I'm willing. In fact, in this chapter here, of the four people I'm going to mention to you, three of them were not preachers. Three of them were not missionaries. Three of them were not full-time Christian workers. But they were people that were just willing to obey the Lord and do whatever God wanted them to do. Recently, the subject came up of burnout. Christians getting burnout. Well, I've been burnt out before. And can I tell you something? I've been saved for 27 years now, and I can testify today, I've never been burnt out in the cause of Christ. And that's not a brag on myself, it's a brag on Him. But I've learned this. The reason we get burnt out a lot of times is because we resist Him and we force ourselves to become Martha Christians instead of Mary Christians. But a Mary Christian, I'm talking about the other Mary, Mary Christians will always have a display of spirit of willingness. And when we are willing to do whatever God wants, it's nigh impossible to get burnt out. It just is. Because when you're willing, God takes care of the rest. I think it's amazing how Christians today, we as saved people would never want anybody to resist God at salvation. Can I get an amen right there? We would not want anybody to resist the whole conviction of the Holy Spirit as at an invitation. And yet after salvation, we become professional resistors of God. And I'll tell you something else that's scary. A lot of times parents will intervene in a child as God is working on their heart. And we will interrupt God and say, no, God, that's my child. You can't call him wherever. No, that's my child. Oh boy, that's a dangerous thing. There's not much said about Mary's parents. But can I tell you something today? They must have done something right. Mary's mom and dad must have done something right. Here's Mary, the willing vessel to do whatever God wanted her to do. Number two, Joseph. I think it's a blessing. I had this message all planned, and Josh Lato calls me, and we discussed the song service this morning, and he threw out two songs he wanted to sing, and I just said, you got to do the Joseph song, because I already knew what I was going to use as an example. Joseph. You know, they talk about the Joseph of the Old Testament. I got to tell you something, in my opinion, the Joseph of the New Testament is in the same category as the Joseph of the Old Testament. We always say, well, we love Joseph and Daniel because there was no mark on their name. We know that Moses had skeletons and David, and we're sure everybody does, but the Bible mentions Moses and David's and Paul's and Peter's and all of them. But Joseph of the New Testament, he got pretty good testimony. Hey, how would you feel as a young single man right now, to have God come to you and say, hey, by the way, you got to marry this girl right now. She's going to give birth to my son. And then you have to flee into Egypt. You got to guard him with your life. You have to make sure the Son of God transports safely from here to there, back to here. And you have to make sure that he raised him in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And by the time Jesus is 12 years old, Joseph is still wise enough as a dad to bring his 12-year-old son to the temple. And he's allowed Jesus to ingrain himself in study so much so that at 12 years old, he's impressing all the wise minds of Israel at that day. Joseph had a lot to do with that. And here's why. Here's why, number two. Mary was willingness. Number two, Joseph, obedience. Obedience. Whoa, hold on, preacher. I think you got this messed up. This is supposed to be a junior church message. We're supposed to teach junior church to be willing to clean up the room and to be obedient and clean up the room, right? No. Everybody in this room, myself included, must maintain the spirit of willingness and stay obedient to God. Look at the signs again. Willingness, obedience. Willingness, obedience. Willingness, obedience. To obey God is so powerful. As you study the Bible, the theme of the Bible, before you have the strength to believe, it's usually preceded by obedience. to obey the Lord. Look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 24. Back up there. We'll go to Matthew 1 real quickly, and then we'll go back to Luke. Matthew chapter 1, verse 24. We don't have time to get on the details, but we all are familiar with the story. And if you've never seen the Christmas version at Branson, they do a great job of illustrating. And I know it's exaggerated a little bit, but they illustrate how Joseph really felt at this time. Finding out that there's a possibility, and I want to be careful because we have young people here, of Mary having cheated on him and the heartbreak that would have come with that and the confusion that came with that. And yet Joseph trusted God. And when God comes to him finally, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 24, the Bible says, then Joseph, being raised from a sleep, look at this, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him and took unto him his wife, Mary. He obeyed. By the way, I've often said to young parents, if you have children between the ages of 0 to 4, 3 or 4, that is the most important part of their lives, to get them to obey. It's a whole lot easier to manage them when they're 13 when you teach them to obey when they're 3. The more no's you say at 3, the more yeses you say at 13. The less no's you say at 3, you'll be having battles at 13. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, come on. Teaching children to obey. I've told my sisters many times, as a dad, everything my kids were punished for stemmed back to obedience. They would do something bad, and I would tell them, you're in trouble. Why? Well, because I did this. No, that's not the real reason you're in trouble. The reason you're in trouble is because you disobeyed. Look at the sign. Obedience, disobedience. You're turning back. You're rebelling. I'm turning my back on them. Disobedience or obedience. And I'll tell you, as a 46-year-old man still today, I still have to remind myself to say, Lord, am I obeying your desires for my life? Am I obeying your wishes for my life? It doesn't matter that I'm a preacher or a pastor or a 46-year-old man who's been in the ministry for a long time, right? That has nothing to do with it. The fact is this, I've been bought with his blood. I am his son and I'm his friend. And ultimately, as Paul says, I'm a servant of Jesus Christ, which means I must display a willingness to always be obedient to what God wants. God knows the answer to this question, and only you can answer for yourselves. Can I ask you as a friend, as your pastor, but more so as your friend, are you obedient to God tonight? Are you obedient? Good, I'm glad there's one yes, okay? So one yes, another 100 so to go, right? No. Are you obedient in dress? Oh, it always gets quiet. Oh, he said the D word in church. Can I tell you something? We need a revival of that again in America. We need to bring back modesty in America again today. We're starting to scratch head and wonder why transgender is an issue in America today. Hello? We can't even tell gender from gender anymore in America nowadays. I mean, well, I'm going to start wearing a dress. Why not? Anything goes in America nowadays, right? Well, we're not obedient in that area anymore. We're not obedient when it comes to faithfulness at church. We're not obedient when it comes to watching and listening to the right things. The Holy Spirit quietly prods our heart. And he works on our heart and he convicts us and he teaches us and guides us. And we're living in a generation today where we're starting to lose touch with old-fashioned obedience of God. Listen, we should be so willing and so desirous to please him that whatever he even hints at, it doesn't have to be a cut-and-dried command. Whatever he hints at, I want to do for him. Where's that been? That's gone. If you want to err on the side of caution, why don't we just go overboard when it comes to willingness and obedience to God? Help me now. Why are we getting nervous tonight, man? 50 years ago, people would have loved this kind of preaching and teaching. Man, he's been so good to us. Hey, 2,000 years later, we're still telling the Christmas story because a Mary was willing and a Joseph was obedient. What's happened to us today? Well, we figured God out. We are now teaching God how to be God. We're telling God, you got to do this, you got to do that. And we figured things out. We all of a sudden got these revelations where we're admitting that we've been wrong for 20 years. And now I've discovered the light. All of a sudden, there's some new thing. No, there's nothing new under the sun. The Bible's the same as it has been for thousands of years. We just got to get back to being willing and obedient to go back to the book again. It's still there, church. And Joseph was obedient. Lord, you want me to marry her? Then I'll do it. You want me to take her to Bethlehem? I'll do it. You want me to bring him, hide him into Egypt? I'll do it. I'll raise him as best as I can. And then he fades off the scene. Nobody knows what happens to him after Jesus is 12 years old in Luke chapter 2. We don't know what happens to Joseph. Can I tell you this, though? Can I tell you this? He made a difference in the young son of God's life. Number one, willingness. Number two, obedience. Number three, I like this one. Watch this. Declaration. This is interesting. I want to throw out something for you to think about tonight. Look at Luke chapter 2, verse 10 and 11. When the Bible says, And the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Now, let me just throw something out for you to think about tonight. I want you guys to think about this. Why did an angel have to declare this? Why couldn't a preacher have stood up and preached, hey, everybody, he is here? I mean, preachers preached it for all those years before. But you know, isn't it interesting that one of the last books of the Old Testament is Ezekiel chapter 22, verse 30. God said, I sought for man among them, but I found what? None. What happened to the people of God is they got so displaced, so burnt out, so frustrated, they didn't even believe in the messianic prophet. Israel was in a dark place. Israel didn't even have any prophets really at that time. That's why it was so significant that John the Baptist was born, and John the Baptist is going to start preaching to pave the way for Jesus Christ. But at this time, at this particular moment in Luke chapter 2, John the Baptist is a baby. He's probably not even crawling. Maybe he's crawling. Maybe he's not walking yet. He's obviously not preaching yet. And John the Baptist is going to grow up and begin to pave the way for Christ. So there's a preacher that's going to declare Christ. There's a preacher that's going to say, hey, everybody, check this out. Here comes the Son of God, but the Lamb that takes away the sin of the world. John the Baptist, that's his job. But up to that point, the preachers had gone silent. So God had to give one of the most incredible opportunities and jobs to an angel. And this is number three, the declaration. You see, when you're willing and you're obedient, your life begins to declare what Christ is doing in your life and your family's life. The declaration. Christians have got to get back to being unashamed of what Jesus Christ did for us. We're so full of shame. We're almost embarrassed. We've been beat down so much, pushed back so much. There's been so much resistance against Christianity today that we're actually starting to hide back in a corner. We're shying away from the fact that we have the awesome honor and privilege to stand up and say, no. This is still a free country. And even if it's not a free country, I will tell you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe in him. He saved my soul. He is my trust. He is my hope. He is my salvation. To get back to that, the declaration, and here's what the angel says. He says unto them, fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Hey, 2,000 years later, we still can declare that. 2,000 years later, we can learn from one of the key people, key characters of the Christmas story. We have Mary and her willingness. We have Joseph and his obedience. We have the angel in that declaration. And finally, number four, the star of it all, Jesus, baby Jesus. His presence. Or presence. By the way, his presence, C-E, brings his presence, T-S. His presence bring presence. Isn't that a blessing? In Luke chapter 2, verse 7, it says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Jesus Christ became the greatest gift ever given to you and me, ever, to any man in history of mankind. Jesus Christ is the centerpiece of Christmas. He is the hope of Christmas. He is the love of Christmas. He is the gift of Christmas. He is everything about Christmas. And because he has come now, he, Jesus Christ, watch this now, is in our presence, in our midst. And because of that, we have daily benefits, daily P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S presence, gifts that we get daily. And gifts come from the Father above. Jesus Christ has manifested that. They may not necessarily be physical blessings, but spiritual blessings such as forgiveness, no more shame, no more guilt, joy, peace, mercy, hope, praise God. He has given us those things. But watch this now. Thank God for the willingness of Mary. Thank God for the obedience of Joseph. Thank God for the declaration of the angel, because that's the way God chose it to be, to bring forth his son to the world. The Christmas story had a pretty incredible cast. 2,000 years later, we're still able to reap the benefits of this. We can still tell the story, sing the story, preach the story, witness the story, testify the story. It's still there. 2,000 years later, because Mary and Joseph and what they did, and the angel, what he did, and many others, but specifically in this particular story, and now 2,000 years later, we can still tell the story of Jesus Christ. So once we decide to be Christmas merry, we can now make others have a Merry Christmas. Tonight, are you willing? Am I obedient? Are we declaring He is worthy? Head your bowed eyes are closed. Thank you for listening to us tonight.
the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. And hallelujah. And hallelujah. And hallelujah. Amen. Amen.
Who can wipe away the tears from broken dreams and wasted years until the past to disappear? Oh, let me tell you about my Jesus and all the wrong turns that you would go and undo if you could. Who can work it all for your good? Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. And hallelujah. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Who would take my cross to Calvary, pay the price for all my guilty? Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus.
He makes a way where there ain't no way, rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can't save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. His love is strong and his grace is free. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. Let my Jesus change your life. And hallelujah. And hallelujah. And hallelujah. Let my Jesus change your life.
Mommies and daddies always believe that their little angels are special indeed, and you could grow up to be anything, but who would imagine the key? A shepherd or teacher is what you could be. Or maybe a fisherman out on the sea. Or maybe a carpenter building things. But who would imagine a king? It was so clear when the wise men arrived and the angels were singing your name, that the world would be different 'cause you were alive, That's why heaven stood still to proclaim. One day an angel said quietly that soon he would bring something special to me. And of all of the wonderful gifts he could bring, who would imagine, who could imagine